our mission is to make everybody understand accounting. We believe it's the fourth R, reading, writing, arithmetic, and reckoning. Everybody should be able to speak accounting.
Aloha, dear listeners, and welcome back to Future Proof. I'm Bill Sheridan, here to serve. How the heck are you? Oh, so guess who I'm talking to this week? Okay, are you ready? Peter Frampton. You heard me right. And no, not that Peter Frampton, although how cool would that have been, right? But alas, no rock legends on the show this week. Instead, for us accounting and finance geeks, I've got something better. I've got the only other Peter Frampton I'm aware of, the one who's president and co-founder of Color Accounting. And if you're not familiar with Color Accounting, well, you need to be, and you will be shortly. First, let me tell you that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you, and they can, by visiting blionline.org. So, back to Color Accounting. In short, their mission is to explain accounting in plain English using visual three-dimensional tools that kind of help non-accounting folks learn what accounting is all about in a fun, easy-to-learn way. And why is that important? Well, I mean, the short, selfish answer is this. We want more people to be interested in accounting and finance. We firmly believe this is the language of business. And if business is going to get done going forward, business people need to be fluent in this language, period. So the folks at the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania agree. Here's what they have to say. This is part of a blog post on their Wharton at Work website. It reads as follows, and I'm quoting here. Some say it's English or Mandarin. Others contend it's the subtle cultural spanning clues picked up by reading facial expressions or other physical movements. But most agree that the true language of business is accounting. The story of any company, no matter the size, the industry, or the country of origin, is told through its financial records and reports. Income, debt, revenue versus expenses, compensation, and cost of retaining customers can all be found on financial statements. But if that's true, this article continues, why are so few executives fluent in the language? Wharton accounting professor Christopher Itner says the answer has to do in part with timing. It might not be important in the early stages of your career, he says. You can get by without being able to read a financial statement, but at some point, you have to provide financial justification for what you're doing, and you have to make decisions based on numbers that come from other people. If you don't know what you're looking at, and you don't know the right questions to ask, your effectiveness is diminished. End quote. So, bottom line, you want to be a business leader, then you have to speak accounting. And that's why the work that the folks at Color Accounting are doing is so important. They are teaching that language to the people who need it the most. Business leaders, yes, but also accounting students and elementary students and employees of every damned organization out there. We all need to speak this language, every single one of us. And Color Accounting can help. Now, I can't describe, really, Color Accounting. It's a visual three-dimensional tool, and I can't make you see that. But what I can do is interview Peter Frampton, who co-founded Color Accounting, and let him help you see that. And he does a great job of that in this conversation. Not only that, but he helps us understand the power of seeing accounting in an entirely different way. And it's powerful. Indeed, it has changed lives, literally. And Peter offers some pretty amazing examples that will blow you away. This is a great conversation, folks. And color accounting is a great tool. And we all need to pay attention to the work that Peter and his team are doing because it's important. So stop listening to me. Start listening to Peter. Here then is Peter Frampton. So Peter, thanks for being here. Let's get the obvious out of the way first. How sick and tired are you about hearing Peter Frampton comments? It's got to happen like every day, right?
Not so much. I love it. You know, it's my way to get 15 minutes of fame because I'm not going to get it myself, right? So, I enjoy it. You wouldn't want to hear me play guitar. You wouldn't want to hear me sing in the bathroom.
Well, but yeah, the other Peter Frampton for that. You're one of only two Peter Framptons that I know of. So
there we go. And you know what? I went to one of his concerts and I waved him down. I said, "My name's Peter Frampton," and partly because I wanted to tell him that my business name was Comes Alive. Accounting Comes Alive. Color accounting, but accounting comes alive. And he said, "What? What do you do?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, you can have that." And I gave him my Twitter account because I figured he needed. I was Peter Frampton. And I figured he needed it more.
That's awesome. That's great. You must have gotten into Twitter early. So that's
I did.
A good thing. Yeah, I was actually in there early too. I got my name as well. So I count myself
cool.
Lucky on that account. So tell me how did this all begin with for you and your team? What kind of problems were you trying to solve when you came up with the idea for color accounting?
Well, so yeah, it's in a sense, it's quite an easy story that I was qualifying at KPMG in Australia and I became friends with the national training manager there. And we both said, you know, people don't understand this stuff. We then fessed up to our failings. He'd struggled with accounting when he was at university and I'd actually failed Accounts 101 when I was at university. And so we essentially started with a question that said, there's got to be a better way. And we began looking for a better way. This is cognizant that, you know, even accountants sometimes don't see it as clearly as they should. And certainly the man or person in the street doesn't get accounting. And actually, we think it could be easy. And we began a quest. And I mean, I could fast forward and say, what we didn't realize would happen a few years later is the color printer would come along. Mm-hmm. And it was an enabling technology. You know, some services just need an enabling technology. Like you couldn't do Uber before the smartphone. Well, when you can print a diagram readily with a desktop color printer, you can start seeing accounting on a page and you can start pointing to the concepts. And not only could we teach the concepts because now we're pointing to a diagram, we realized, hang on, I don't understand that as well as I should. And so the diagram made all the difference. And that's the story.
That's really interesting. So, and when was this exactly? This was...
Oh, this goes back to, I'll give you my age away now here, that this goes back about 20 years. So I qualified at KPMG 20 years ago, as did Mark Rabilliard, the co-founder. And it's been a long journey since then of evolving and understanding. And so it's called color accounting because we had the idea of making debits green and credits orange. But actually, what's been a much greater adventure is realizing that it's the language, never mind the colors are useful, but it's the language that the language of accounting is a mess. Mm-hmm. And we feel we've kind of been cleaning that up. And some of the distinctions and ideas we've come up to explain concepts like revenue and expense, which are widely misunderstood, that's where some of the real innovation happens.
Well, and I want you here in just a second to kind of describe this in detail because it is kind of fascinating and a little hard maybe to understand in an audio podcast, but we'll have you paint that picture for us here in just a second. But I'm kind of interested, what kind of issues were you finding that people were typically running into when it came to their understanding of accounting? Was it just simply, I mean, was the language the big thing or how deep did it go?
Look, so we certainly come across accountants who just don't understand, in a sense, basic bookkeeping as well as they might. You know, they have a sophisticated understanding of tax law and so on and so on. But doing the journal entry, sometimes they're not so well versed in it. But much more than that, you know, our audience is really the greater population, the layperson. And lay people out there which of course, these are lay people getting into businesses as well. So I'm including managing directors of small and even large businesses who don't understand accounting. They can make fatal mistakes because of the misunderstanding. So, and the misunderstanding begins with not understanding the words. Revenue, for example, is the most misunderstood concept by lay people in accounting. People think, and in fact, the dictionary, the Webster's dictionary will tell you, revenue is money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's not. That's not the correct definition of revenue. Because if you think if it's money coming in and my business has got plenty of revenue, you think plenty of money's come in. And often it hasn't. Because revenue, we define revenue as what you do. It's an activity. We say, which is quite sort of a brain twister, we say revenue is actually a verb, not a noun. And we don't want to get too esoteric and too deep here, Bill, but it's quite a shift. And we've had people in our workshops who have written books. There's a chap in Australia who wrote a book called Life After Liquidation. And he said, I had all this revenue and I ran out of money and the business went bankrupt. And you can, it's a singular case of his business sank because he thought revenue was money and he had plenty of it. But when, you know, he's a frenetic entrepreneur, you could say, well, how can you not notice you've got enough cash? Well, frenetic entrepreneurs, they're juggling, they're managing the income statement, they don't always manage the balance sheet well. And he didn't.
So in essence, his business failed because he couldn't speak the language.
Absolutely. It boils down to the language. He thought money was coming in, but it wasn't because the language was wrong. And in fact, that leads me to say that what our mission is to promote what we call accounting literacy. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe the term accounting literacy is that well known or well appreciated. You know, everybody knows financial literacy. Financial literacy, in a sense, is this overly broad church, and governments all over the world are spending hundreds of millions of dollars promoting financial literacy. But what is it? It's everything from credit cards, portfolio theory, to savings rates, to retirement funds and 401ks. Whoa, that's too much. Before you get to any of that stuff, you need what we see as a layer underneath. You know, everybody starts at 3, 4, 5, and it's like, whoa, no, start at 0. And 0 is accounting literacy. Where am I and how am I going? You see, if I want to go to Dublin, first tell me where you are, and then I'll tell you which way to face.
Right.
But I need to know where you are. And most people, it's not that they don't want to do the right thing with their finances. It's just that they don't know what their finances are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't see the language, they don't understand the balance sheet, they don't understand the income statement. I'm talking personal finances and business finances.
So here's where I want you to spend a bit of time actually describing what color accounting is, because it's very visual, but it's not just visual, it's three-dimensional. So, describe exactly what it is and how it works.
Right. So thank you. Firstly, we are essentially an education business. So the Color Accounting Company, Color Accounting International, we call ourselves, is an education business. And we're really operating in two markets. We do what's called finance for non-financial manager training. We train in banks from Goldman Sachs to entrepreneurs in Africa. And we're very proud of that it works from top to bottom. And in fact, we often run courses in secret for senior executives and board members because they can't be seen to be learning this fundamental skill. Right? So we are an education company, but why we do what we do is because we stumbled on this better way of teaching accounting. So where accounting used to be difficult in this esoteric subject, which had a famously bad reputation at university and college, and everyone would avoid it like the plague, it's now really easy. In the same way that DOS computers used to /DIR, and you had to be able to type commands. No, now you just point. In fact, your phone's a computer and we don't even think of it as a computer. It's become easy. Learning accounting is now easy. So we as a business, our mission is to make everybody understand accounting. We believe it's the fourth R, reading, writing, arithmetic, and reckoning. Everybody should be able to speak accounting. So as an education business, how do we go about it? Well, we go into these banks I've referred to and corporations and so on, and we run one-day workshops. And we've got a set of tools. So the principal tool is a diagram that we've also put in the public domain called the BASIS framework, BASIS, because it's the basis of everything. And BASIS is actually balance sheet, BASIS, income statement. So what it is, in your mind's eye, please imagine you've got this sheet of paper here and it's got 5 blocks on it. There are 3 blocks at the top forming a rectangle at the top, and then there's another rectangle at the bottom. which is the income statement. And essentially in these five blocks, and they've got colors, green and orange, because it's debits and credits, sources and uses and so on, they operate interactively. But it's now so easy because I can see it. Look, the money's up here at the top left in assets. The revenue's down here in the bottom right. The money is green up here in the top left. The revenue's orange down here in the bottom right. Oh, I thought the money was down here. No, the money's up here. And Bill, it's amazing because we will be in these, we'll be in a workshop. And now we take that diagram and we actually have a pop-up board designed by a famous pop-up board artist. Literally, it's a pop-up board. You open it and these buckets open up. It's wonderful. And you'll have people and their hands will be hovering over this pop-up structure. And they'll say, well, when I get the money, and now that's a perfectly fine question. When I get the money, the thing is they're pointing to revenue. I've told them five times that revenue's not money, but I've uncovered a dissonance in their head. Oh, that's right. Money's an asset up there. This is revenue. This is the work, right? And so on. So I'm trying to give you a vivid picture here of the real learning that takes place, because it's until now, it's been hard. You tell someone that revenue is not money, but they still think it's money, but it's not. And now you substitute it and you say, no. Well, here, for example, here's a trick, Bill. What's the sound of revenue? It's a fun question, right? Everybody says ka-ching. And I let them say ka-ching. And then I say, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's not, because ka-ching is the money. The sound of revenue is snip, snip in a hair salon, type, type in a law firm. You see, revenue is what you do. Money is what you get. And I mean, Bill, here I am. I'm feeling a bit silly explaining this basic stuff to you, but it's a very powerful thing in the world that you can take this esoteric subject that sometimes spoils people's lives or could enable people's lives and their careers and now use it to such high impact. You know, oh, I love your podcasts that I listen to, and I've listened to them about the future and about NASA and going to the moon. And I think, oh, wow, ours isn't quite as glamorous as that. But damn it, we're at the edge of enabling something new in the world, which is ubiquitous understanding of accounting. And of course, how do the accountants respond? And it's like, a cynic would say, well, hang on, you're making our job easy. And it's like, no. The enlightened accountant says, wow, everybody gets to appreciate that I'm not counting beans. I'm doing something much more subtle, holistic, nuanced than counting beans. And I truly believe people will appreciate the art and science of accounting and accountants much more when we can make them accounting literate and not fearful of their accounts. I mean, I love to hear that clients are engaging with their accountants much more enthusiastically, better, buy more services from them. BDO, we've got a wonderful relationship with BDO. And they sent me an email the other day for the first time saying, I got the first client because they appreciated accounting.
Well, it's amazing. I had never heard anybody kind of put it that way as you were describing how this actually works. And it's got to be, I mean, describe some of the looks on people's faces. It's almost revelatory, right?
I mean, Bill, it's what gets me out of bed in the morning. I mean, the epiphanies. Let me give you two stories. So in South Africa, I immigrated from South Africa because I didn't want to do military service. And it was in the bad old days of apartheid. Nelson Mandela was still in jail. So I left. And then I came back under Nelson Mandela. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do something that I believe in and so on, because I avoided military service. So I ran a not-for-profit incubator. And we actually got color accounting going inside this incubator. And this kid came in. So a black man in his young 20s came in, and you've got to understand the context of this. Is this is a man who's been deliberately undereducated by an evil system, right? And he, so we used to, we taught at that stage, we were running a course every Wednesday night for 4 weeks, and he came in on the second week and he said, I'm so excited I couldn't sleep. And I have to admit, I'm ashamed to admit that part of me said, get a life, it's bookkeeping, you know. And shame on me, because having a bookkeeping skill for this man was the difference between living in a shack, like literally a tin shack, and a middle-class existence. And he is so excited. And then he told me, I've done four courses and I couldn't get in them. And these are courses that I've paid privately from private colleges, so they're expensive because the state didn't do a proper job educating me. So I'm trying to compensate myself. And now he gets it. And he went on and he got a job as a bookkeeper. Maybe he's an accountant now. I don't know, you know, a full-blown accountant. And that brings tears to my eyes, that I had the honor and the privilege of helping this human being lead a fuller life. And fast forward, I moved to America and I lived in Washington, D.C. for 10 years. And I'm teaching at a course for, it's actually for a federal agency and in Washington. And there's this voice that shrieks out at a particular moment because we've got a whole sequence of things that you need to fix. We actually say, sorry, I'm digressing here a second, that learning accounting is like a chain. It's really easy, but we've got to get each link put together because if any one link is broken, then it doesn't work, right? So I've got to get you to make sure you're thinking from the right point of view, and then you're using the right transaction, and then you're using the right word, and so on, right? So you just line it up, and it's so easy. So there's this moment in the workshop where this voice shouts out from the back of the room, I can finish my MBA. And I said, whoa, stop, everybody. Hold on a second. What was that? Sally at the back, what was that? She said, I'm not kidding. I couldn't get that. You can have this idea that you have to have an entry on each side. And you've just showed me how you don't have to have an entry on each side. So people confuse, at the risk of getting too technical for non-accounting listeners, people confuse the ledger with the journal. Mm-hmm. I collect books, two of which are from Harvard Business School Press, I have to say, that say you have to have an entry on each side. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the books was The Official Guide to QuickBooks. QuickBooks, the software is great, but the book says you have to have an entry on each side. You don't. You can have two compensating entries on one side. You know, cash is up, assets is your, you know, equipment is down. That's one, on one side. And she couldn't get that. So she said, I quit accounting and it was a prerequisite for the MBA. So I quit the MBA. Here's a woman whose life would have been different and maybe better if she'd got such a simple concept. It's just brilliant to see the impact it has on individual lives.
Those are fantastic stories. So who have you been working with to date? I mean, give me some idea of the scale or scope of your typical kind of client.
So we operate in about 25 countries, and you know, we've taught in Sudan or North Sudan, which is at war. And we've taught in Outback Australia, and we do a lot of work with my South African heritage and Mark's Australian heritage. We've got a strong presence in those countries, and we've just launched into China. So geographically, we're in Canada and in the USA, obviously, and I was teaching in Brazil just the other day. We don't have a strong presence in Brazil. We're getting there. But so geographically, we teach across the world, and then we teach small businesses and small to large businesses, banks, Morgan Stanley has been a client, Goldman Sachs, and so on. Then corporations, Westinghouse Corporation, and so on. And then, so that's a big part of our business. And of course, we work through with partners. So we just love our partners, and we're a network. It's like a family of people who are passionate about this cause. And mm-hmm. there are about 100 people who deliver accounting literacy education using Color Accounting System. And then the very exciting thing that's happening is we've started to move into the schools, because so many adults will say, why didn't I learn accounting this way?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Harvard Business School has endorsed Color Accounting, and we use it at Maryland University and so on. So it was in universities, and now down to the schools, we're starting to get traction in high schools. And it's fantastic. We had one school where they were actually going to cancel accounting because everybody was choosing economics over accounting. And they started using Color Accounting, and they were oversubscribed.
Oh my gosh!
And it was amazing. In fact, they then for the final year 12, they got the best grades that of any subject from accounting. And the head of accounting was actually telling me how she's like, there was a chap who's dyslexic, and she was trying to talk him out of doing accounting, but he insisted, "I'm going to do accounting." Didn't do brilliantly, but he passed.
Oh, that's great. Oh, fantastic.
Well, so there's the commercial market and there's the schools market. And actually, I think the schools market is so exciting because it makes teachers' jobs better. And this is where, you know, working with the MACPA, I've talked about vision, right? And the future. I mean, no, I've never met someone so visionary and so positive and so able to see. Sorry, Bill, this is what I have to say. I've had the door slammed in my face a couple of times. Like, mm-hmm. huh? What's this?
Yeah.
And MACPA, with the visionaries there, they get it. They just get it. And we're having a blast with them. And it's wonderful to partner with them.
We've been, you know, Peter, we've been for years now trying to figure out, you know, how to, you know, cascade this type of, you know, understanding of the language of business further down through, you know, high schools, elementary schools, and just kind of bake that in, because we do think it's important. And this seems like a way to do that. And I mean, it sounds like you're just having a success in ways that we in the profession just have not, which is fantastic.
Well, here's a quick story. So when we were meeting with the MACPA and one of the MACPA consultants, I said, hey, look, you don't have to believe me. Let me just come down and I'll just show you. You know what? Grab a couple of nieces and nephews and cousins or whatever, some youngsters, because this is with a view to helping youth, right?
Yep.
And I'll meet you in the back of a Starbucks. And we did that. We actually did it in North Carolina. So I went down to North Carolina. Sonia, you know Sonia?
Yes.
And so I said, here we are. So we start doing this. And she said, oh, sorry, I had to bring along my fourth grader as well. So maybe, I think fourth grade, sixth grade, fourth grade. She was about 9 years old. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, good. No, she's welcome too. Halfway through this few hours that we spent together, this kid says, I'm going to be an accountant. And I just looked at her and said, you see?
That's like our dream right there.
Right.
Oh, fantastic. So what's next on the horizon for you and your team?
Well, we want to just keep partnering with, we partner with the BLI, which is MACPA's, you know, Business Education Division. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a mission to change, to make accounting literacy, make the billions, the masses out there, like literally billions of people, we want to change accounting literacy in the world. And we know we're not going to do that alone. So really, we are increasingly just working with partners, a network of partners, to promote this new way of learning accounting and in the end business, right? Because we know that the end goal is business education. And so we want to do more of that. And, we're working with MACPA to get it out to schools as well. And that's our job. Our job is to just spread the message that, you know, technology is enabled an easier way, because you can see it. The Macintosh came along and made computers easier. Color accounting came along and makes color accounting easier. And the more we can get the industry buying in and supporting us, we'd love to see lots of accounting firms taking it on, educating their clients. It's a client relationship exercise where the client now appreciates you. It can be revenue earning as well. You know, we've worked with BDO, I've taught at KPMG, and PwC has been a licensee in South Africa, and they see that you can use color accounting to good effect.
That's great. We'll keep fighting the good fight. Not only are you making our jobs easier, but you're obviously improving lives, and that's an amazing thing to be able to say that you do. So Peter Frampton, thanks for the time. I appreciate you being here.
It's such a pleasure, Bill. Thanks for having us.
That was Peter Frampton, president and co-founder of Color Accounting. If you want to know more, visit coloraccounting.com. Also, check out the BLI's blog for a video that explains color accounting in detail. That's at blionline.org/blog. And in the interest of complete transparency, Color Accounting is a strategic partner of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute, the folks that I work for. That's how important we think this stuff is. They're teaching people everywhere how to speak the language of business. And in my opinion, that's a mission worth fighting for. And then there's this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. So start mastering those future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. And that is all I've got for you this week, folks. Have a great week. Talk to you again in about 7 days or so.